This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده سبحانه ونستهديه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، كلمةٌ قامت عليها الأرض والسماوات، وفطر الله عليها البشرية، وهي أساس الفرض والسنة. ومن كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. فاللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك أن تجعل آخر كلامنا في الدنيا لا إله إلا الله. اللهم أحينا على لا إله إلا الله، وأمتنا على لا إله إلا الله، وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله، وأدخلنا الجنة ونحن نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومعلمنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا يوم الأرض على الله سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه، وارض اللهم عن ساداتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الصحابة أجمعين، وعنا معهم يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة والملك لك لا شريك لك. My dear brothers and sisters, in a few hours and a few days from now, thousands of Muslims from all over the globe are heading to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are heading to Mecca to perform the last pillar, آخر ركن من أركان الإسلام ألا وهو الحج, responding to the call of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of the Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him after he finished building Al-Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال له أذن في الناس بالحج, أذن في الناس بالحج, call people to come to the house, to visit the house. So Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know what to do exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to stand somewhere and call. Just say, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِالْحِجِّ فَحِجُّوا. So Ibrahim alayhi salam responded to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said that the scholars are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every single human being on earth on that time hear the proclaim and the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, including the babies in their mother's womb. Allahu Akbar. Qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi surah al-hajj, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and call people for hajj, they will come you from all over the world, from everywhere. Rijalan, ikhwani, rijalan here doesn't mean men, because the word rijalan in Arabic means men, right? But here it means walking. They will walk, they will crawl. Matter of fact, some people until today, they walk from Europe, from Asia. And we heard that, and we've seen that. Allahu Akbar. And whoever been there, Subhanallah, if you visit the house before, you feel that there is something very special, that your heart is there, that the moment you make tawaf al-wada', you want to come back. There is something. We all felt it. Subhanallah. What is the secret, brothers and sisters? This is the call that Ibrahim alayhi salam made in the beginning. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do your best, do your part, and I will bring every single one over there walking. Brothers and sisters, in every single act of worship in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the secrets, the wisdom, the objectives. Why are we praying? Why are we fasting? Why are we giving zakah? And it's very obvious. Why we give zakah? Why we pray? Why we fast? The answer is easy. But subhanallah, one of the most controversial pillar of Islam, I would say, is Hajj. Why? Because there are a lot of things that you cannot really rationalize. You don't understand. What do you mean? I leave everything and go there and I make tawaf around the Kaaba. Why the miqat? Why Ramil Jamarat? Subhanallah. That's why, brothers and sisters, let's try to answer this question. Very important. If you're going for Hajj, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, please pay attention to this. Very important to have this in your mind, in your heart, before going there. Otherwise, you will go and you'll come back and nothing is happening. Subhanallah. Why are we making Hajj? What are the objectives, brothers and sisters? Number one, spiritual objectives. Always, as I talked in this minbar, before, during Ramadan, I said, what are the objectives of the month of Ramadan fasting? The very first one is the religious and ritual, spiritual objective. Of course. Like what? The very first thing, Ikhwani, when someone asks you, why do you perform Hajj? When your child comes to you with this question, your answer should always be because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't try to play with words. Yes, of course we need to make people understand. But the very first thing, and they will respect that, you will appreciate that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to go, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ فِي الْحَجِّ بِالْحَجِّ فَحَجُّ. But why? It's a question. One brother yesterday, I was having a long discussion with him. He said, explain to me, why do we have to shave our hair? Why do we have to cut our hair? What is the reason behind that? It's a question, right? What is the reason behind that? I told him, brother, you cannot rationalize everything in Islam, subhanallah. Big part of Islam is submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala subhanahu wa ta'ala in kitabihi al-aziz fi surat al-Baqarah. Rabbana wa qalu sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Ikhwani, a lot of times we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with condition. If you tell me what is the reason for me to do that, I will do it. Otherwise, I will always, always question that in my heart. And this is very, very big problem. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. You say, Allah, if I understand, well, you've given me this brain to think, which is fine. But there are a lot of things, even in our daily lives, we cannot really comprehend. Explain to me, what is love? What is this emotion called love? What is love? What is hatred? It's an emotion, right? It's from the heart. Explain that to me. How does it work? What happens? What functions in your body in order for you to reflect and to react and to love somebody or hate somebody? Explain that to me. But do we believe in love and hatred? Yes, we do. Do we have an evidence? No, we don't. Why? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, go and do this and do that, we ask and say, Ya Allah, unless you tell me why I am doing this, I will not go. This is very dangerous, brothers and sisters. This is very dangerous, right? Subhanallah, you go to a physician and he prescribes medicine, right? You don't really argue. You don't say, hey, convince me that this is going to cure me, unless you're another physician. That makes sense then. But subhanallah, you go, you take the prescription, take the medicine, and that's it, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already explained to you before why you pray, why you fast, why you give zakah, and it worked, right? Why when he tells you, go make tawaf around the Kaaba, you say, why? Why should I do that? Right? Which makes sense. And a lot of times we say, look at Buddhists, what they do, they worship Buddha or whatever, worship statues. Aren't we doing the same thing? Isn't going around the Kaaba is an act of, idol worshippers? Isn't it? It's not. Subhanallah, because when they worship a statue, they actually do worship that. But we do not worship Al-Kaaba. We don't go around the Kaaba because we worship at Kaaba. Subhanallah. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he talked about the black stone, al-Hajr al-Aswad, قال والله إني لأعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع. I know that you are just a stone that you cannot bring harm or benefit. ولولا أن رسول الله قد قبلك ما قد قبلته. Had it was for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, me seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing that, I would have never done that. But we're not worshipping al-Hajr al-Aswad. Khwani, everything in Hajj is very symbolic. It's very deep symbolic meaning, subhanAllah, everything. Why we're making tawaf? There is one amazing book that I would like the brothers and sisters, especially if you're going for Hajj, the book of Ihya Ulum al-Din for Sheikh al-Ghazali, rahmahullah ta'ala. The chapter about Hajj, he has something very profound that says that talks about the secrets of Hajj. He's saying that when you go to Al-Miqat and you take your clothes off and you wear the Ihram, they represent something. And it means something. When you go around Tawaf, you should have this in your heart. Read this book, The Secrets of Hajj. You will find this in Google, PDF for Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. So, ikhwani, there are a lot of things we cannot explain. However, as we say, subhanallah, and that takes me to the second point of the spiritual wisdoms of Al-Hajj, subhanallah, which is what? Thinking about death, about our final destination. Wallahi, this is what came to my mind when I went to Al-Miqat. And I took the clothes off, the regular clothes, the regular dunya. And then you have your ihram on. What is happening? What are you doing right now? Subhanallah, this is the first step. You left your home country. You left your wife. You left your spouse. You left your kids. You left your work and everything. And as if you're departing the world. You're taking everything that you love, your beautiful outfit. You left all of that. There is no perfume. There is nothing. You are detaching yourself completely from the dunya. If you want to understand the wisdom behind Hajj, this is very much needed. When you put Malabis al-Ihram on, you remember that when you die, this is the same exact cloth that you're going to be wrapped in, subhanAllah. This is the shroud, brothers and sisters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to realize and to feel and to sense this before the death comes to you. Right? And then when you go, you pass by al-Miqat, and you go and you're looking at al-Kaaba, you're looking at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says, when you see al-Kaaba, when you see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that you are very poor, and you are standing in the house, in front of the house of the Lord of the universe, the Creator, and you don't know if He's going to open it for you or not. Subhanallah, as if you're knocking the door of one of the kings. Subhanallah, and you're not sure if He's going to accept you or not. Have this in your heart while you're performing Al-Hajj, you're performing Al-Umrah, and now you're going to start to feel, you start feeling what Al-Umrah, what Al-Hajj is all about. And then he says, when you go around the Kaaba, when you go around the Kaaba, remember that Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur up there, right in top of the Kaaba, and the angels, 70,000 angels every single day, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go around Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, and they leave at the end of the day, they never come back. Different angels, they come back the next day. Remember all of these things. You're doing the same thing like angels, subhanallah. Remember this, brothers and sisters, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that. That you're trying seven ashwat, seven times, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you. He did not accept you this time, I will try another time, another time, another time, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts me. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة والملك لك لا شريك لك. إخواني, الحج is very small image from the day of judgment. Subhanallah, in the day of Arafah, when you stand, you have millions of people are standing over there. This is what's going to happen. Small image of the day of judgment, wearing the same clothes. Oh, everybody is worshiping one God. Everybody is waiting, you know, for his dua to be accepted, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them Jannah. Think about this. If you're going for Hajj, when you are at the Mount of Arafat, remember this. Have this in your heart. This is one of the secrets. This is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach you. And when you go again, bayna Safa wal Marwa, same exact thing. One time, did Allah accept me? Maybe not. Let me try one more time. Back and forth seven times until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually accepts you. Ya Allah, I came all the way to you saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. I'm right here. I left everything. I am so ready for death. I'm so ready to leave this dunya. Accept me. This is the symbolic meaning. This is the meaning we need to understand when we perform Hajj. When we look at people, brothers and sisters, of the spiritual benefits and objectives and wisdoms of al-hajj, ikhwani, that you seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his servants in front of the angels. انظروا إلى عبادي, they came to me, look at my servants, they came from everywhere. أشهدكم يا ملائكتي أني قد غفرت لهم. Be my witness that I forgive the sins. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ikhwani, if you have not performed Hajj yet and you have the means, do so. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have the means to perform Hajj and you still here because Hajj does not make sense to you, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not welcoming you in His house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I repeat this again, if you have the means to perform Hajj and you still did not go because probably Hajj does not make sense to you, or because you're always saying later on, know that it's not because of you do not want to go to Hajj. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're not welcome to my house. You're not welcome. You're out. Think about it. A lot of benefits that we can get from Hajj. And the first objective that we talked about is the spiritual objective, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission. سمعنا وطعنا. Make tawaf. We'll make tawaf. رمي الجمرات. رمي الجمرات. We do all of these things. Subhanallah, without even asking. You cannot rationalize everything in the religion. This is part of the deen, brothers and sisters. You cannot rationalize everything in your dunya even, as we talked about love and the hatred and all of these emotions and feelings. Right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ دَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. It's part of the deal. Part of the package. You believe in things that I will explain to you, but then when I tell you something you don't understand, don't say, wait a minute, I need to understand first. That doesn't make sense. You're contradicting yourself. Take the whole package. The seen and the unseen. And the reward is going to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, some of the objectives of Al-Hajj. Number one, spiritual objectives. Submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind yourself of the hereafter and of death as well. The second objective that we can talk about here, second objective of Hajj, is social objective. Khwani, when you go over there, you see the unity of Muslims, subhanallah. Couple million people, 2 million, 3 million, sometimes more. They're standing together, wearing the same clothes, facing the same qibla, worshipping the same Lord, doing the same thing. Have you ever seen a Muslim over there saying, hey, you guys go today for Arafat, I will catch you tomorrow? That's not possible. We all one. The wahda bayna al-muslimin, ikhwani. The unity. That's the beauty of this religion. Wallahi, one of the, you know, the most beautiful things in this religion is that we are all united. Look at this blessed masjid, ikhwani. Look at this blessed masjid. Because of our unity, we're strong. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The Muslim community, despite all, you know, some negatives here and there, but we're very strong. That's why we have a masjid like this. And alhamdulillah, it's growing. And our communities are growing because we're one. And Hajj teaches us this. Come all together from everywhere. It does not matter. It takes me to the second point. Equality in Islam, ikhwani. There is no difference between Arab or non-Arab. There is no difference in black or white. Or white over black. Men or women, there is no difference. Everybody is the same. I know the question that you have in your mind right now. What do you mean about equality? Some people, they have 2 stars Hajj package. Some people have 0 stars Hajj package. And some people have 7 stars Hajj package. So where is equality in here? Right? Some people, mashallah, they are right. Their tent is right by Arafah. Mashallah, the air conditioning and everything. It's like, you cannot even get this kind of service in the United States sometimes, right? And some people, they are in the back. And to answer this question, subhanAllah, ikhwani, this has been always, the case is not going to change. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, some people made Hajj, you know, while riding camels, some people were walking. These differences are always going to be there. But the act of worship itself, if you are rich, does it mean that you're not going to stand in Arafat? No, you will stand in Arafat. You will mix. If you are rich, are you not going to go around the Kaaba 7 times or only 5 times because you are privileged? Right? So this is what we talk about, equality. This is what we talk about, equality. Everybody is the same. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave the khutbah al wada, he said, لا فضل لعربي على أعجمي ولا لأبيض على أسود ولا لأسود على أبيض إلا بالتقوى والعمل الصالح. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that. Disclaimer. He said, there is no superiority for an Arab over non-Arab, or a white over black, or a black over white, except with what? Taqwa, the piety. If you're a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what makes the difference. Not how much you have in your bank account. This is Islam, and this is what I learned from Hajj Ikhwani. Malcolm X, very, very famous figure, of course, that we all know him. He performed Hajj. And while he was there, he wrote a letter that I quoted some, I'm going to quote some from him, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's hear what Malcolm X said when he was in Hajj, subhanAllah. He wrote this about Hajj. He said, during the past 11 days here in the Muslim world, I have eaten from the same plate, drunk from the same glass, and slept in the same bed or in the same rug, while praying to the same God, with fellow Muslims whose eyes were the bluest of blue, whose hair was the blondest of blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. SubhanAllah. And in the words and the actions and the deeds of a white Muslim, I felt the same sincerity that I felt among the black African Muslims of Nigeria, Sudan, and Ghana. We were truly all the same brothers because their belief in one God, because their belief in one God had removed the white from their minds, the white from their behavior, and the white from their attitude. This is his message, Ikhwani. This is what he learned from Al-Hajj. Didn't I tell you that we have a lot of things to learn from Al-Hajj, but we're not aware of that. SubhanAllah, we only focus is like, why we go around the Kaaba? Why 7 times? Why not 9 times? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 7 heavens and 7 layers? Why? Why number 7? Allahu A'lam. It's not important, ya akhi, whether 7 or 10. The most important thing, what do you learn from this journey? What do you learn from this? Brothers and sisters, learn the secrets and the objectives of a Hajj. If you want to perform good Hajj, and if you actually want to benefit from Al-Hajj, from the fifth pillar of Islam. Some of the objectives that we learn from Hajj as well is psychological objectives as well. Things psychologically speaking we can learn. Look how hard the journey is, right? You stay away from all norms, your clothes, your car, your everything, and you're just going, you know, walking amongst millions of people around you. It's hard. However, you train yourself. You train yourself and you have more patience right now because you have a higher goal, higher aim, which is what? The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Look at the amount of patience that you need to be there. People are coming from different backgrounds. They have different mentalities, right? And some people pushing each other and you need to deal with them. So what do you learn here? You're training yourself that sometimes I can bear hardships. Yes, because I have higher goal, as you said. Of the objectives of Hajj Ikhwani, some very important objective as well as historical. Historical. When you go there, after reading about the seerah and all the seerah classes, and then subhanAllah, you go there and you witness, and you hear a lecture again on the Mount of Uhud, and Ghar Thawr and Ghar Hira, and all of these things, when you see them firsthand, subhanAllah, you feel more connected to the seerah of Rasulullah. How did you feel for whoever went before? What was the feeling when you were driving from Medina to Mecca, or Mecca to Medina, remembering that the Prophet walked from the same exact road? Right? Look at the hardships. Look at all of these things, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me. Let's bring a break to go with our youngsters to Umar, alhamdulillah, some of them I see their faces here. And you know, from the way from Medina to Mecca, it was really hard, to be very honest. You know, for young American kids, that's not easy to tolerate this. You know, it's nighttime, you know, we didn't have enough food at that time, and all of these things, desert, you know, mountains. And subhanAllah, this is what came to my mind. I stood up and I held the mic and I told them, listen, subhanAllah, remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was running away, escaping from Mecca to Medina, right, with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Remember, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most wanted man at that time. Remember this. Have this in your mind. When they were chasing him, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, Ya Rasulullah, لو نظر أحدهم تحت قدميه لرآنا. If they look under their feet, they will see us inside the cave. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا أبا بك ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. How about two people that Allah will be the third? لا تحزن إن الله معنا. So remember all of these things when you go there. If you're not there, where and how are you going to learn that? Listen to lectures, not enough. But when you go and experience this, subhanAllah, look at the iman, wallahi, that's going to be in your heart, to come to your heart. Khwani, in the previous few minutes, we were talking about some of the objectives of al-hajj. We said there are some spiritual objectives and benefits, like submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. To attain the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To seek the reward and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get ready for death and the hereafter. We also said that the Day of Judgment, the Hajj is a small image of the Day of Judgment. The second objective of al-Hajj, ikhwani, the social objective, is strengthening the unity of Muslims. They are wearing the same clothes, same color, praying to the same Lord, doing the same rituals, right? Equality. There is no difference when Arabs over than Arabs or anybody. Everybody the same out there. And then the third objective is the historical objective, where you can actually connect when you go there and see these things firsthand. You can connect and you know what the Prophet ﷺ has been through and the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ. I will repeat this again for the last time. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the means to perform Hajj, do not postpone that. Because that doesn't mean that you don't want to go because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not welcoming you in your house, in His house. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the means to perform the last and final pillars of Islam, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma arzuqna hajj baytika al-haram. Allahumma arzuqna hajj baytika al-haram. Allahumma arzuqna hajj baytika al-haram, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma arzuqna al-wukufa ala Arafat. اللهم ارزقنا الطواف حول الكعبة يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا السعي بين الصفا والمروة يا رب العالمين اللهم لا تحرمنا من رمي الجمرات اللهم لا تحرمنا من الهدي يا رب العالمين اللهم لا تحرمنا ووحد يا رب العالمين صفوف المسلمين اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين يا رب العالمين اللهم آمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله رسول الله استقيموا واستووا واعتدلوا يرحمنا وإياكم الله خشعوا في صلاتكم صلوا صلاة ودع استووا
Fill up the gaps in your lines. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب ليس عليكم جناح أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم فإذا قضيتم مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو أشد ذكرا فمن الناس من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا وما له في الآخرة من خلاق ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار أولئك لهم نصيب مما كسبوا والله سريع الحساب
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله